Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Apostle Elliot Brother Locker with the Burning Bush Church, 402 North 13th Street in Irvin, North Carolina. As we are chapter 2, going into the new year, we want to encourage you. We're going to be speaking some encouraging words this afternoon out of the Bible, words of God to encourage you as you go into the new year, because only God's words can give us the strength we need, give us the grace we need to be able to stand in time like these. So we're going to be encouraging you from verse to verse. We may be jumping here and there and over there talking about different things, but it's all going to have to do with the whole man, because mind, body, soul, and spirit, family, finance, attitude, behavior, character, all that had to play the part of who we are from our head to our feet in a spiritual world as well as a natural world, from the church to our house, from our house to our job, from our job to the grocery store, from our grocery store to the community. All this had to do with who we are and what we are, because we are here as instruments in the hands of God that he might use us for his glory. This is the time, this is the season. If you're born in this time, you're in this season, you're in the right time, you're in the right season. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego there was here, they was in their season. When Daniel was here, he was in his season. When David was here, he was in his season. When Samuel was here, he was in his season. So there ain't no such thing as we're out of season. You're born in the season that God would have you to be born in. We got winter, spring, summer, and fall. All those seasons come in the right time where they're supposed to be. They are not out of order. They are not out of sequence, so God has fixed it that way. So if you were here, it ain't no such thing as God put you here and didn't give you nothing to do. But the Bible said he put his glory in earthen vessels. He gave all of us something to do. We all have talent. We all have gifts. We have all have special abilities that God had gave us. And only in this season can you use it. Now is the time to do what God said do. Now is the time for you to operate, not next year, 10 years from now, when you get to be 90 or 100, but do it now. Every moment belongs to God. Every moment that you breathe belongs to God. So you need to ask God, what will you have me to do in this season, Lord? What have you called me to do? What will you have me to do? So I'm encouraging you. Maybe you drug your feet into 2023, but don't go into 2024 dragging your feet. Don't go into 2024 procrastinating. Tell me what you're going to do. Tell me what you're going to do. Going to do have never, ever accomplished anything. We got a lot of going to do folks in the world, and they don't have nothing to show for what they're going to do because they didn't never do it. How many know that going to do don't get the job done? Doing it. Doing it is what get it done. The Bible says it's not he that is going to serve the Lord or going to read, but it's he that does it. He didn't want to find glorification in God's sight. So if you want to plead the Lord, don't talk about doing it, but just do it. It's better not to say nothing, do it, than talk about doing it and don't do it. So I come out and encourage you as you go into the new year with the new year resolution and the different fads going on and the different styles going on. And we got the internet, we got Facebook, and we got Twitter. We got all these different things that we can use to get communicate and get involved in. But make sure that you're pleasing the Lord and all that you're doing. I encourage you to take up the slack and fill up the gap between you and the Lord. Make sure that your life is pleasing in his sight, because that's what he put you here for. He put you here for his glory, not your glory. He put you here that he might glorify himself in you. So you say, well, I'm going to quit doing this, and I'm going to quit doing that. Well, you should know by now, you don't been saying that the whole year you ain't quit yet. But what you need to do is with the help of God. The Bible said, don't say what we're going to do. Only God can give you the grace to stop doing some of the things you have or doing. Only by the grace of God can you break some of them habits that you've been involved in. Only by the grace of God can you separate yourself from some of them people you've been hanging around with. Only by the grace of God can you separate yourself from the lustful desires you've been fulfilling all year long. Keep saying you're going to stop. You're going to stop. You're not going to stop if God don't help you stop. Only God can is a habit breaker. Only God is a deliverer. God said if we confess our faults, he was just and faithful to forgive us for all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, see, it ain't enough for God to forgive you if you're going to keep on doing what you need, and then he don't give you the power and the strength to be delivered from it. It's kind of like a doctor. Their doctors are not trying to heal you. No, I don't care how good your doctor is. My doctor did, my doctor did that. It don't matter how good your doctor, you may think you got the best doctor in the world. Your doctor is not trying to heal you. It's like grass. When you cut grass down, it come back up. Your doctor's not giving you medication to heal you. Your doctor is giving you medication just to deal with the situation from month to month. That's all your doctor is doing, getting you something to make you feel better, getting you something to deal with what you're going through and not get rid of. You need something to get rid of what you got. Then you won't have to take medication. That's what we need. We need that will get rid of it. God's going to get rid of your sin. See, when he gets rid of your sin, you don't have to worry about confessing them, though. If God gets rid of them, he not only forgive you, but he want to cleanse you. So we're going to get into the word. We got a few scriptures. We actually give it a tender ear to the word of God. For the Bible said the word of God is powerful. Sharper than a two-edged sword. It will not go back and come back asunder, but accomplish what was sitting out. You see, God's word come to accomplish something. If you got God's word in your life, it didn't accomplish nothing. You might need to check and see what you got. But God's word will accomplish something. God's word is a yoke breaker. It's a lifter up of your head. God's word will pick you up when you're falling down. God's word will strengthen you when you're weak. God's word will restore you. It will revive you. It will uplift you. It will enlighten you. It'll make you a new person. Oh, my God, you'll know the person I was before God's word got in me. When God's word got in me, it changed me from inside out. It made me a new creature. Old thing passed away. The whole old thing become new. Yes, I used to cuss before I became new. Lie and cheat and everything else. I didn't do it because I wanted to do it. I did it because with my nature to do it. When you got the nature to do wrong, it ain't got nothing to do whether you want to do it or not. When you got the nature to do wrong, you're going to do wrong. And when you got the nature to do right, you're going to do right. Nobody has to make you do right if you got a nature to do right, because the nature itself going to make you do it. We got too many people trying to live Christian life that fail. You can't live no Christian life yourself. I just come out and encourage you. The reason you're failing is because you're trying to do it yourself. You won't humble yourself and acknowledge that you got issues. You won't humble yourself and acknowledge that you got frailty. You got fault. You got shortcomings. You got sin. You got weights that easily beset you. But rather than humble yourself, God already know you messed up. He already know you got issues. He already know your weaknesses. He already know your frailty. And he didn't just find out about it. He the one created you. How you think he don't know about that he created you? And the scripture said every hair on your head been numbered. Every sparrow fall to the ground, God knew about it. How do you think that God don't know about you and here you trying to hide it? He wants you to be honest. That's why he said confess your fault. Come true. Come real. Come visible. Make yourself known unto the Lord. Amen. He already knows anyway. When Adam tried to hide, God already knew Adam was out here. He didn't ask Adam where he was because he thought Adam was lost. He couldn't find Adam. And God saw Adam before he sinned it and knew where he hid it when he sinned it. When he asked Adam, where are you? Adam said, I'm hiding over here. He said, because I'm naked. And God said to him, how do you know you were naked? I didn't give you that knowledge. I didn't give you that insight. So God already knew about him. The Bible said even in our mother's womb, he told Jeremiah, I knew you before your daddy and your mama had an affair that night. He said, I knew you before you were born. He didn't say, I knew you when they had conceded. He said, I knew you before they conceded. Isn't that something? God knew Jeremiah and your mom and daddy ain't went to bed yet. God said, I knew you before your mother, you and your husband, your mom and dad got together, before you were even in your mother's womb. And he said, I made you for this purpose. He said, the reason I know you, because I'm the one put you there. I made you for this purpose. I made you to be my prophet for the nation. Whoever you are today, as you enter into the new year, know God had made you for this time. You ain't out of season. You ain't out of season. This is the season. This is the time. This is the lifespan. And God has given you to use you, no matter who you are. If you're usable, if you're old enough to be used, if you're old enough to be accountable, this is the time that God want to use you. Not 2090. Not 2009, not 2020, 2021. God want to use you now. 2023 year. God want to use you now. So humble yourself. Be encouraged. Philippians 4:8 says, and whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, was never just, was never pure, was never gluttony, was never commendable. If there be any excellent, if there be any worthy of praise, think about these things. Other words, keep your mind pure. Get that mess off your mind that will make you sin. That's why you're messing up. That's why you're coming short of God's glory, because the mess is in your mind. How many know that the heart, how many know that the heart don't mess up the mind? Uh-huh. Many times we talk about what come out the heart, but the heart doesn't mess up the mind. The mind mess up the heart. So what, because the mind goes to the heart, then it sends it, then the heart gets it and sends it back to the mind. You're controlled by the thoughts that come in your mind, and they go down in your heart. And once they get in your heart, that's what you are. So you have to be careful about what's in your head, what's in your thought, what's in your mind. So that's why the writer said, whatsoever, keep honorable things, keep pure things, keep clean things, keep honest things in your mind. Because if you walk around with adultery thought, you're going to eventually, If you walk around with fornicating thought, you're going to eventually, yes, you understand where I'm coming from. Eventually, those folks you hang around with, those things that you hang around with, eventually you're going to become them. For what? Evil communication, corrupt good manners. You could be a good person hanging around evil communicating people and end up like them. Have you ever came up with a slang that a friend of yours had and you find yourself doing it? You know, I had a friend of mine, and he would go around and say, yay, man. I never thought that the day would come when I was one day somebody said something to me, I said, yay, man. You see how quick I adopted that saying of him just because he was my friend and I hanged around him? And some of you just like that, too. You hang around people, and you don't got that saying, you talking like them. Now they don't got your mindset just like theirs. You think like they think, even though you know they're thinking it wrong. You thinking like they think. Now, you used to know that it was wrong to fool around with somebody's husband, somebody's wife, but now you got a friend that is doing it, and now you're talking about different folks for different folks. You would have never said that, but because you're hanging around the wrong person, now you're thinking it like them. You're acting like them. You're letting your morals down. You're letting your standard down. You ain't thinking holy no more. It's okay. God understands. No, baby, it's right or wrong. Ain't no understanding about it. God's word ain't based on understanding. God's word is based on truth. It's based on what God says. You can't bring God's word down and put it where you want to put it to match you. You got to come up to the word of God. Amen. Ephesians 31:32. Let all bitterness and wrath. I mean, encourage you as you go into the new year about being you. Some of you have been bitter all year long. Some of you have been wrapped for all year long. Some of you have been angry all year long. Some of you have been clamorous, mean and cussing and slanderous all year long. Paul said, put these things away to go into the new year with all malice. They don't build up in you now. It disappears. You ain't who you are no more. People wonder about, I thought she was this, I thought she was this. Your character has changed because you're walking in these demeanors. They said, be kind one to another. And tell them, this is what Christians are supposed to be. Paul is trying to get them back on the right track because Paul found out that they're supposed to be saved, but yet they were bitter and wrath for trying to take matters in their own hands, anger, cussing, and fussing. And Paul had to remind them that we've been born again. We've been bought with a price. This is not our nature no more. Yes, when we was out in the world, we cussed, and we were slanderous and angry and bitter. But we're not of that spirit no more. We've been born again. We've been bought with a price. We got the nature of Christ in us, not the nature of Adam. We got the nature of Christ. So Paul said, we call the name of Christ. Aren't we not walk like him? Come on, y'all. It's time to straighten up and go to the new year. Don't carry this message of the new year, your bitterness. For the Bible says bitterness is not of God. It's selfish and earthly and devilish. If you're bitter, then you need to check yourself because you're on dangerous ground. He said, forgiving one another, and God for Christ forgave you. Some of you are still holding grudges. Some of you still making excuses why you're holding grudges. Yes, I know what they did to you was wrong. But you got to understand, I did not tell you to forgive. God told you to forgive. I'm just a mouthpiece for God. I'm just an ambassador for God. I'm just a handyman for God to remind you what God said. And God told me to tell you to forgive. I don't care how bad it hurt. Forgive. I don't care what they did. Forgive them. For God can forgive you. For as long as you hold this over their head, as long as you hold it, then you're holding it over your own head. And your prayer is going to be hindered. Your prayer is not going to be heard. How can God hear your prayer when he said that if you didn't forgive, he would not forgive you? That if God ain't forgive you, he's not going to hear your prayer. And listen, don't think God lies. Bible says, let every man be a liar, let God be the truth. God is not a lying God. Your healing, your prosperity going to be hindered. Your healing going to be hindered. Your deliverance going to be hindered. Your prayers of your children going to be hindered. Prayers of your marriage going to be hindered. Prayers of your business or your job going to be hindered. Prayers of your family going to be hindered. And you take somebody working witchcraft on you. You take somebody that went down the side of the border somewhere and got the witchcraft working on you. Do you not know you work witchcraft on your own self? Okay, I'll pause there a little bit. Do you not know that you can work witchcraft on your own self? Now, wake up, Pastor. Now, you want to explain that. Well, the Bible said disobedience is that the sin of witchcraft. Whenever you disobey God, when you get in self and in the flesh and won't do what the Lord told you to do, when you know to do right, for the Bible said he that knows the good does it not, it's sin unto him. When you know to do right and don't do it, and you be rebellious and hard here and say you're going to do it next month, next year, and then year after now, then you come flying up. Do you not know when the children of Israel decided they're going to go into the promised land, had them disobey God, them upset God, them provoke God there at the river, at the sea there, and God told them to go in and he's going to go with them, and then they provoke God, and after they provoke God, they decide, is they going to go now? But no, they have called the spirit of witchcraft to come in now. The spirit of witchcraft was on them, and God was not going to operate on the spirit of witchcraft. So God told Moses to tell them, I'm not going. I'm not going to go and tell them, don't go. He said, because I'm not going. And they went anyway. And when they went, the enemy whooped them real good and sent them back home. Why? Because they were operating on the sin of witchcraft. When you disobedient, you operate on the sin of witchcraft. Ain't nobody got to work no roots on you. You do it to your own self. So if you've been disobedient, stop being disobedient. Obey God. Do what God told you to do. Not tomorrow, no next week. This ain't about your friends. It ain't about your family. It ain't about your feelings. It ain't about with no nobody. Huh? And pastor, don't you let that offering. And don't you let that offering that they raised on you cause you not to tell the truth. Tell them the truth. God is going to take care of you. He said you were worthy of the high. You tell them that the wages of sin is there and the gift of God is full. Don't bite your tongue. Don't twist the truth. Don't make them go to hell right there in the church. You tell them it wrong. John the Baptist told Herodias. He said, you the king, and you can't have your brother wife. He didn't bite his tongue. He told them what the truth was. But he told them the truth. Pastors, leaders, every those of the new you, I encourage you. If you tell the truth for your church, and I tell the truth for my church, and the next pastor tell the truth for their church, and the next pastor tell the truth for their church, people won't be able to run and sit in church and sleep and get away with sin. Because all pastors are going to be saying the same thing in the church. And they're going to be convicted. They're going to be convicted in their heart. Huh? They're going to be convicted in their heart to repent and come running. And then what must I do to be saved? I'm telling them it's not right. You tell them it is right. And what bothers me, and I'm going to pause on this, I don't have no respect for preaching. I don't preach on no respect for one thing. I preach on everything. But something God wants me to iterate on because it's of great importance. It is wrong for two men to be married. It is wrong for two women to be married. I don't care if you're a teenager and you're married to a woman or a man. It is wrong. It is an abomination. And if God lets you get away with it, the Bible said in the last day, it's going to be as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, men loved it, men, and women loved it, women. God had to destroy the city. Now, all the surrounding city because it was so bad. Now, if God excuses sin now and says it's okay for two men to marry one and two women to marry one, he got to go all the way back to Sodom and Gomorrah and take them folk out of hell and forgive them for sending them there. And God ain't fit to do that. But the Bible said God is not going to repent. God ain't going to do that because God was not wrong. It is wrong. It is an abomination. I don't care how many laws they pass. I don't care how many laws the legislature passed. I don't care how many laws the Supreme Court passed. According to God's word, it is wrong. And all they did when they passed that law was give you a death sentence. They give you the right to condemn yourself and put a law on top of it. I come out to tell you, I love your soul. I don't love your feeling. I don't love your money. I love your soul. And I come by to encourage somebody this evening that is caught up in this mess, the unnatural affection. But Paul said in the last days, men were burning their flesh one to another and women toward the other another. And Paul said they would lose their natural affection for one another and burning their flesh for a man rather than burning their flesh for a woman. Huh? I come by to encourage if you're caught up with this mess, if you're caught up with your natural affection, I'm going to leave it alone. But if you're caught up with it, I'm trying to save your soul. And when you stand before God, oh, my God, you're going to be in trouble. Yes, I know there are pastors now that are homosexual and lesbian and pastors of the church and all the members there, they go there because the pastor is and he says, okay, pastor married men and pastor married women. It is wrong. I ain't got to guess it. I ain't got to wonder about it. I'm telling you what I know. It is wrong, W-R-O-N-G. And if wrong spelled any other way, in a different language, you spell it, but it still come out the same thing. Oh, I love you this evening, and I want to see you in heaven one day. I don't want you to lose out and end up in hell, in eternal darkness forever, because you thought you were right in what you were doing. You didn't know. Apostle just told you this evening, it is wrong. You get your act together. You let that man go and go find your woman. You let that woman go and find your man, and then you marry him so that you'll be right standing with God. Isn't that all right? I know it is. Praise God. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In other words, you ain't got to depend on money. You ain't got to lust after money. I'm not saying you ain't got to have money. But Solomon said money answers all matters. In this world we live in, we need money. We got to have money. And it's okay to be rich and have money. God ain't never said it was not right or wrong to be rich. We make rich folks feel so bad. But I encourage every rich person this afternoon, don't you be discouraged. Don't you let people make you feel bad because you're rich. There were many people in the Bible that were rich. Solomon was rich. Job was rich. There are many people in the Bible were rich. Only thing God said to the rich man is that you distribute it to the poor. Now, if you ain't distributing it to the poor, if you ain't helping somebody out in need with your riches, then you're going to find yourself in trouble with God. But the Bible says, he that give it to the poor, lend it unto the Lord, and God will repay him. When you overlook the poor, then God will overlook you. So I say to the rich man, keep your riches. Oh, but share them. Be bountiful. Be gracious. Find some organization that is helping the poor. While you're riding along the highway, stick your hand out the window with some of these poor people out there. Side street, quick, give them $5 so you can feel good. Give them $10 so you can get it off your conscience. You rich. You a multimillionaire. How about you give them a 20? What about you give them a 50? How about you give them a 100? You might be able to give them 500. Go to the neighborhood that they're living in, and there's a whole lot of them in the neighborhood, and take your handful of money and let your window down and give it to them while you're driving through and be a blessing to them. You can't be God-given no matter how hard you try. So I'm talking to the rich. Now, don't be condemned. The Bible didn't say it was a sin to be rich. The Bible didn't say it was a sin to have money, but the Bible said the love of money is the root of all. It said it's the root of all. That's where it began. That's where evil began. He didn't say it was evil. He said the love of money, he didn't say the love of money was evil. He said the love of money was the root of all evil. Everything has a root. When you love money, it's a root. You find yourself blind. You find yourself being deceitful. You find yourself being covetous. You find yourself being stingy. The Bible said when your riches increase, set not your affection upon it. So to the rich, I pray for you that you'll be even richer. Oh, yes, God wants you to be rich. Because you can be a blessing to God by you being rich. Okay? And we try to quote scripture on the rich folks, make them feel bad. I don't want you to feel bad. I want you to know, my God, I desire to be rich myself. See, the more rich I am, the more I can have to help the poor and a soup kitchen and do the similar things I want to do. I can't do nothing being poor. You can't do nothing when the poor can't help the poor. And I ain't speaking against the poor people. I ain't got nothing against the poor people. But I'm saying that a poor man can't help a poor man because he ain't got nothing. He ain't got nothing either. But the richer you are, the wealthier you are, the more God can use you to be a blessing to somebody. So I'm playing for my wealth myself. So this is to the rich. This is to the poor. The Bible said when you're richer than Crete, see, a lot of us, we won't even have nothing one time. And we were more faithful to God then when we didn't have nothing than we is now. Now that God has been good to us, and now that God done brought us from a mighty long way, now that God done brought us from the bottom to the top, we're so selfish, we're so sinned, we'll make excuses. I ain't getting my money. They out there on the street, and they just ain't nothing wrong with them. How you know? There's something wrong with some of them. There may not be something wrong with all of them, but there's something wrong with some of them. But you won't help nobody. You won't help nobody. You just been stingy all together, trying to make an excuse. Oh, my. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, or whether you do it all to the glory of God, you hear me? We got to learn when we've been born again, whether you're eating or drinking, whatever you do, to God be the glory. We got to start giving God back his glory. That's what's wrong with taking God's glory. We're taking God's glory. We want to be seen when we're saying. We want to be seen when we preach. We want to be seen when we pray. Oh, we want to be seen when we give our oracle. Oh, God, when we get that lecture, we want the folks out there to fall all out in the chair because we did it. You're not to be seen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. You know what I found out in my walk with God? The more I give God the glory, listen to this, sir. Listen to me now. The more I give God the glory, the more God glorifies himself in me. See, if God glorifies himself in you, you're going to be seen. You can't help but be seen when God glorifies himself in you. Because remember, he said he put his glory in earth and vessel. So if God's glory is in you, it's going to come out of you. So you glorify God. So God's glory can glorify you. As you glorify God, God pours his glory in you. And then when he pours his glory in you, it runs out on other people. God's not putting his glory in you for you to shine. God ain't putting his glory in you for you just to look good, for you to have a title, a name, an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor. God is not putting his glory in you for you to have a well-known name. God put his glory in you so your glory can run over into the lives of others, so somebody can be healed, so somebody can be delivered, somebody can be set free, somebody can get a breakthrough. Oh, my. Somebody's eyes can open. Somebody's ears can come open. Somebody's head bowed down can be lifted up. Somebody lost can be saved. Somebody backsliding could come back because God's glory is in you. Proverbs 3:1-2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For let the days of long life and peace shall it add. As you go into the new year, don't forget God's word. You used to love God's word. You read it day and night. You were the first one to let me testify, and nobody couldn't set you down. But now you done drifted. Now you done put God's word on the back burner. Now you trying to do it yourself, and you wonder why it's taking so long to get it done. Honey, God can get it done quicker than you. Do you not know that God can give you in 6 months? God can give you in a year where you couldn't work out in a lifetime? God want to be your provider. He just don't want you to forget him. Don't forget his word. You got 3 and 4 jobs, you still broke. Didn't that tell you something? You got 3 and 4 jobs, ain't paying tithe on either one of them. And you wonder why you can't make it. You ain't going to make it. I come out to tell you, I ain't prophesying on you. I ain't speaking no word of negativity on you either. I'm just telling you the truth. If you got 3 and 4 jobs and you pay your tithe, you ain't going to make it because you're robbing God. Shall a man rob God? Why, you robbed me of my tithe and your offering. Well, I got to pay my bills. Listen, it's better you pay your tithe and pay your bill. I don't want my credit to look bad. It's going to look bad anyway after a while because you're robbing God. You ain't going to be able to pay none of them bills. Pay God. Give God his money first. Take it out of your chest. Quit letting it stay with your money. That's why you can't pay your tithe, because you got it mixed up with your money. Take God's money out. You made $1,000, take God's $100 out and put it in the envelope. Put on there. Put your name on it. Put tithes on it and throw it in the offering on Sunday morning. If you can't make it to church because you're working 2 Sundays and you can't every other Sunday, put it in there and save it to that next Sunday. Don't you spend it. Don't you let it be mixed up with your money. Take God's money out there. It's God's money. He said, you rob me in tithe and in offering. Will a man rob God? Yes. He said, then when you rob me, he said he would steal the hand of the devil when you pay your tithe. Things that will happen to others won't happen to you. Oh, things going to happen to all of us. A bad thing that happens to somebody won't happen to you. Why? Because you paid your tithe and you didn't rob God. So don't forget God's word. Amen? This is getting good to me. Ephesians, I'm just trying to encourage you to go into the new year. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for the building up, and fit the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. No, come here, let me cuss. You saved. You've been born again. You're not allowed to cuss. I didn't say you wouldn't cuss. I didn't say you couldn't cuss. I didn't say you can't cuss. I said you are not allowed to cuss. God don't allow you to do that. You're a new creature. You've been born again. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. This doesn't help nobody. When you're cussing and speaking foul language, he said, put these things away from you. Let no corrupt come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for the building up and to fit the occasion. If it ain't going to help nobody, don't say it. The Bible says you can't speak good to nobody, don't say nothing. How many of us is guilty of that or not that? If you can't say good about a person, don't say nothing. That's what the scripture says. How many of us always say negative things about people? Bible says don't say nothing negative about nobody. If it ain't, you can't say something to make them shine, to make them look good, don't say nothing. He said that it might give grace to the hero. Other way, when somebody hear what you said, it ought to give them grace. And grace is good, baby. Grace will lift you up. Grace will encourage you. Grace will make you whole. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always as you go into the new year. Rejoice. All that time you frowning, all that time you mad, do you not know that you can't get back a second? You can't get back a minute? You can't get back an hour or a day? You think about you sitting around all day long mad. You sit down all day long sad. You sit around all day long with a hit. Do you not know you ain't going to get that back? Look what you could have been doing. If you were, look what you could have been doing while you were sad. You could have been rejoicing. He said rejoice always. You're not rejoicing because of what happened. You are not rejoicing because of the situation is bad. You rejoice because you know God going to fix it. You know God going to bring you out. The writer said pray without ceasing. See, you first, you're sad. First, your head dropped down all day. Now you ain't praying. You done cease praying. You done stopped giving thanks to God. He said, pray without ceasing. He said, without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will. Do you not know it's the will of God in Christ Jesus that you give praise to God? That you give God thanks in all circumstances? All morning long, and maybe this afternoon we decide we're going to come out of Mobile Valley and peep out over the chair or peep out the window, out the door, and see if life still going. Life is still going on, baby. It was going on while you're there in Mobile Valley, while you're down in Looney Dome, while you act like you don't know what's going on. Don't you? Because you want to get dark, you stick your head out the door. I'd rather see you till day. Dark ain't wait. Day ain't dark. Ain't waiting on you just because you want to stay day. And guess what? And day ain't gonna wait on you just because you want to stay dark. It got dark that night. You all sad and downtrodden, hoping the day don't come. You think the day ain't gonna come because you hope it don't come because you don't want to see the day no more. You don't want to see nobody no more. You don't want to hang out with nobody no more. You don't want nobody to talk to you no more. And you hope the day don't come. And you think the day ain't coming. The day going to come anyway. Or you can't stop the day. You can't stop time. Huh? Time going to go on. Even as I'm talking right now, time done went past. Time ain't waiting on nobody. Philippians 4:2-3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourself. Don't do nothing in self. Don't do nothing to try to put a front on self-ambition. You can get a praise on that somebody can read you, praise you. Oh, look what she did. Look how he sang. Look how he preached. I did not tell you earlier the glory belonged to God. If you give God his glory, he'll glorify himself in you. You won't worry about nobody doing all that. They'll do it anyway. And it's the value of the above yourself. How often do we do not do that? We always want to be seen. We always want somebody to blow their horn on us. We always want to be in the limelight. We always want to be above somebody. We want put ourselves up there to be seen. But the Bible said, put others above you. Look into your own interest. But each of you to the interest of others. Yes, it's all right to look to your interest. And yes, it's all right to care about yourself, but also care about others. Esteem others higher than you. Tell them whenever the church is over with, girl, you're really saying today in the choir. You might even sound like nothing. But how that would make her feel to know that you said those words until you said something negative. And yeah, y'all were cracking up in the voice and this and that, and y'all need to practice more and easy to say negative things. But how about fill your mouth with positive things so somebody can be blessed? Say amen. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things that are above and not on things that are on the earth. You got to learn how to transform your mind from the problem that you have. You got to learn how to transform your mind from the circumstance that you're going through, from the trouble, from the hurt, from the lies, from the discouragement, from the negativity, from the things they said about you, you heard about it, and it stays on your mind. Now, a whole day done went by, a whole week, whole month went by, and you sitting there grieving. You sitting there downtrodden. You sitting there lost your joy. Do you know how hard it is to get joy? Joy is easy to lose, hard to get back. So when you get that joy, you need to hold on to it. That's why the old folks see that old folks knew their joy was important. And they didn't let nobody steal their joy anyway. They didn't have nothing as it was. One pair of stockings, one pair of shoes that run over, one wig that was full of tobacco dust and everything else. But they were proud that they had that. And they said, this joy that I have, the world didn't give to me, and the world didn't take it away. That's the kind of joy you need. You need that joy that's in the Holy Ghost. See, we got worldly joy, but worldly joy passed away. That old physical joy passed away. That old earthly joy will pass away. That old selfish joy will pass away. That old pretty joy will pass away. That old money joy will pass away. That old material joy will pass away. But they said, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. They were talking about that spiritual joy of the fruits of the Spirit. This is the joy you need. He said, Lord, give me that Holy Ghost joy. So next time life circumstance knock on my door, I can keep my smile on my face. Amen. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be accepted in the. See, you can't give God any kind of stuff. God only want no offering that he messed all up. When Cain gave God an offering in the beginning of the Bible, God blew dust and God blew the smoke in his face because he bought God what he wanted God to have, not what God told him to bring. And God didn't accept his offering. You got to live so God would accept your offering. When you raise your hands in the air, that your hands will be clean. Ah, tabo bullshit. When you raise your hand in the air, your hand will be clean. You hear what I said? When you raise your hand in the air, the word and the words of your mouth, when you pray, when you sing, God looking at you down there on the choir. He looking at you down there in the church. He looking at you down there in the congregation singing. And he know you're going to live holy all day long. And now the words of your mouth and the meditation, even the meditation in your heart, God wanted it to be clean. He said that it might be accepted in your sight. We can't give God anything. God don't accept anything. Your heart got to be clean. Your mouth got to be clean. Your words got to be clean. You can't cuss God. You can't sing Amazing Grace Sunday and cuss your brother out Monday. Then that ain't clean. Bitter water and sweet water can't come out the same fountain. An apple and orange don't grow on the same tree. Grapes and pearls don't grow on the same tree. And neither can you be saved and lost at the same time. You can't be right and wrong at the same time. You got to be one or the other. Oh, this is so good to me. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. See, the reason of Philippians, the reason Paul is warning you here is because when you're anxious, you make the wrong decision. When anxiety is in, you end up marrying the wrong person. Sometimes you end up moving into the wrong home. Sometimes you end up on the wrong job. Sometimes you end up with the wrong boyfriend, the wrong husband, and the wrong marriage. And you end up with a wrong investment. Or somebody told you, spend $5,000 because you're so anxious to get rich, so anxious to get money. Somebody's going to tell you to send them $5,000 because they just find out they owe you $125,000. And all you got to do is send $5,000 in, and they're going to send you the check. You ain't even thinking. You sitting away so caught up in anxiety, so caught up on getting that $125, and you're going to send them $5,000, and you ain't going to see no $125,000. Because you've been blinded by anxiety. The old saying says, it's too good to be true. It might just be too good to be true. Nowadays, you got to be so careful in what you do. And because anxiety will make you make the wrong decision. It'll make you get in a hurry. Won't wait on God. Ain't that what Sarah did? She got in a hurry because she wanted a baby. Anxiety was all over her. And she couldn't wait no longer. And she gave her husband to the handmaid. Now, you know the story, how that turned out. She realized, and they're going to blame Abraham, talking about he's sinned. No, he ain't sinned. She's sinned. She the one did it. She didn't want to blame others out. We make a mess. Do not walk in anxiety. Wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Please hear me. This is the most important verse for you to take into the new year. Learn how to wait. The old song used to be, "Our Job waited on the Lord, why can't I?" Learn how to wait. If you learn how to wait and trust the Lord, I guarantee you won't make no more mistakes, no more serious mistakes. We all make mistakes sometimes, every now and then, even when we don't want to. But you will never make no more serious, devastating mistakes if you learn how to wait upon the Lord. For they that wait upon the Lord, when you wait on God, you're showing God you trust him. You're showing God that you believe in him. You're showing God that you know he's able. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, see, sometimes when you're waiting on God, God always come up with an answer. And that's what I found out. I was here waiting on God to give me the answer to what I've been going through. And I went to church, and I waited for the prophet to come and tell me that God said the answer's on the way. I'm going to do it tomorrow. And the prophet told me, God said, wait. I ain't want to hear that. I'm ready for my answer. I'm ready for my breakthrough. I already was waiting. I didn't want to hear. We'll wait, but sometimes you're going to hear God say, wait. And again, he might say, wait again. But as long as he tells you to wait, he may tell some to wait longer, he tell others. But as long as he tells you to wait, he's going to renew your strength. Remember, he told me to wait, but he renewed my strength. He gave me the strength I need, the vitality that I need, the energy that I need, the push I need, the boost I need, the adrenaline I needed to make it through the trial. Yes, he told me to wait. But he didn't leave me empty-handed. The writer said, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be so impatient that you can't see that boy ain't for you. You can't see that girl ain't for you. You can't see that you could have made a mistake marrying this man. Everybody been told you he ain't no good, but you don't see it because you're anxious. Anxious to get you a husband, and a no good husband at that is what you could end up with because you're so anxious. You're so caught up. You're so blind. You can't see. He done everything he knows to show you that he ain't the one, and you're going to marry anyway out of anxiety. No, baby, wait on the Lord. There's a songwriter that says like this, it's bad to be in the arms of someone else when the right one come along. God got the right man coming your way. And here you is married to the wrong man. Now you can't get the right man because you're in the arm of the wrong man and the wrong man doing you wrong. Oh, I hope I'm talking to somebody. I'm so glad that I had a mother that set me down and she taught me, my brother, the sister, the proverbs and the values of life, just like Solomon did his son. And when she told us to what was right and what was wrong, the do's and the don'ts. Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good from those who it is due, what it is in your power to do, to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and it is good, and I'll give it to you, when you already have it with you. Somebody come to your house in need. Somebody come to your house hungry. Somebody come to your house in destitute. And you know you have the means to help them because God sent them there. But they told you, God did. You're going to tell them to come back in the morning. They're hungry tonight. They don't need to come back in the morning when you got it now. You can do it now. The Bible said do it now. Don't make them go home and come back in the morning and be hungry. They're in need for the children. They're in need for food on the table. And you're talking about, I'll do it in the morning. I don't bother me tonight. I'll do it in the morning. The Bible said do not do that. God's been good to you. Get yourself. Get yourself up out of that bed and do what you got to do to be a blessing to pray for you because it's in your good power to do it. And God will bless you. Joshua 1 and 8, listen, this book of the law, as you go into the new year, this book of the law shall not depart from your mind, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do it according to what's written therein. You can't do what's written in the Bible if you don't meditate on it. You got to meditate on what the Bible says. Yes, ain't enough to read that it said it, but you got to meditate on it. You got to meditate on it and do what it said do. Meditate day and night. And the more you read the Bible, the more you meditate on the Bible. And it said, be it in the mind, say the Lord, I repay. The more you meditate on that, when somebody stir up your feathers, when somebody make you angry, you'll be more stronger not to be vengeful. You'll be more stronger not to take matters in your hand. Why? Because you meditated on God's word. Colossians 3 and 15, and let the peace of God Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body. Amen. Let the peace of God, and peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit, but you got to let it rule in you. Quit being so mean. Quit being so disturbed inside. Quit being so broken inside. Quit being so confused inside. Quit being so disturbed and messed up inside. Quit being so uneasy inside. You don't know when the last time you seek no peace. So disturbed, so uneasy, so touchy. But let the peace of God rule your heart. When God peace rule your heart, people can't do you any kind of way. People can't talk to you any way and get you upset. How you all out of the will of God. How you all in your attic. Yeah, got you all in your attitude, in your attitude, all out of your character, because you just all troubled up inside. They ain't got no peace. Well, you got the peace of God in you. When you got the peace of God in you, in your heart, it will guide you, lead you, it'll help you make the right decision. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. God chose you. Think about all the people that done died and gone into glory. Think about all the people that done died and gone to hell. Think about the people all done died and ain't coming back. Think about all the people that you saw in this world and God chose you. Chosen means that you were picked out especially for this purpose. You have been chosen. You ought to be proud that God chose you. You ought to be grateful that God chose you and live so that you appreciate that he chose you. He said you are holy people. You holy. Holiness is still in. Holiness is still in. People don't want to talk about it no more. Holy God is still holy. He has not changed. His people ought to still be holy. Holiness is still in. Holiness is still the right thing to do. I read today that God hates evil, but he loves the righteous. God still hates evil. God still likes holiness. He still loves holiness. But you've been chosen. And now that God has chosen you, you are his possession to walk in his excellency. Hold up holy and clean hand. Make God proud of you. Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Commit your work to the Lord. Commit your work. Tell God about it before you do it. Don't go do it. Listen, don't go do it and then tell God about it after you did it. Tell God about it before you do it, that he might direct your path, because he may not want you to do that. He may not want you to get caught in that long, drawn-out situation. That may not be the husband. That may not be the wife. That may not be the job. That may not be the car. That may not be the person that he wants you to partner with.
So commit thy way unto the Lord and ask God, Lord, show me. I'm going to partner with someone for the next 5 years. I'm going to put my $1 million in an investment, God. I'm going to buy this motel chain. I'm going to buy this business, Lord. Is it okay, God? Is any crooks behind it? Any kinks in it, Lord? Am I throwing my money away? Am I making a bad investment? Acknowledge God. And the Bible says he would direct your path. So we thank God this afternoon. We just hope that you've been encouraged. I hope that something is said that would encourage you as you go into the new year. And remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you have the greater one on your side, he's more than a conqueror. He's more than a winner. The Bible says he's not victorious, but he's more than victorious. It's his will that you eat of the good of the land. It's God's will. It's his good pleasure that you eat of the good of the land. So if you go into the new year, don't go in with negativity. Don't go in there thinking that God is against you, that God is punishing you for something you did. God ain't got time to play games like that for you. But check your life. And if your life ain't in the right place, get it in the right place. For the Bible says he withhold no good thing for them that walk upright. Now, if you know you're walking upright, then patiently wait on the Lord. He's going to bring you out. But if you ain't walking upright, get right so the Lord can bless you. Present Father, we thank you for these scriptures. We thank you for your encouraging words, how it has fed our souls. Oh, God, we're tickled to death to be caught up in your word. So help us to apply your word to our life, God, as we go into the new year, making new year resolutions to get closer to you, higher heights and deeper depths. Lord, we ask that you pull down every stronghold, loose every shackle, solve every problem, answer every prayer, shut doors that need to be shut, and open doors that need to be opened. Heal our body, regulate our mind, restore our soul, bless our children, bless our family, bless our finance, bless our health, and above all, bless our relationship with you, O God, in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, give us a closer walk, God. Give us a new unction. Give us a fresh anointing. Stir your word up in us, O God, in the precious name of Jesus. And the gifts that land dominant, bring them alive. And the one that's already operating, anoint them afresh. Put insight, enlighten them, O God, in the name of Jesus. And to be in the forgiveness of our heart, and forgive us, O God, for those that we hadn't forgave. In the name of Jesus, move all malice, all bitter, all guilt, unforgiveness out of us, Lord, that you might glorify yourself in us, and our prayers might be answered. Do these things, Lord, because we know you can. We know you will. And all the honor and all the glory is yours as we go into this new year, O God. Let's go in with a smile. Let's go in encouraging, knowing that you got it and everything's going to be all right. Bless the apostle, Lord. Bless our ministry, O God. Bless the radio broadcast, O God, that is producing this show, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Apostle.
Thank you. Be blessed.
Shall I take your order?